This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here I come. Hey. Rougher than the rest of them. The best of them. Tougher than leather. They don't call me Knuckles. They call me Derek Kramer. And that's Zach Jones over here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This is that song. Okay.
This is that song.
I keep listening to it. I'm like, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Come on.
It is.
Give me a little more juice right there, baby. That. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. Right there. Give me that smooth jazz from a 2000s video game from the Sega Dreamcast for Knuckles the Echidna's theme song.
It is 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
You're damn right. And I am excited as hell. Josh matching my energy. Love that on the board.
Draft week.
Oh, forget draft week. I've been here for a long time. I'm a sicko.
Yeah, but you can feel like the long slog to get there and the whole thing. Now that it's quote unquote
every day,
I've got
the
ESPN counter going on now, where it gives everyone's draft needs, their key additions, departures.
Yeah,
the countdown.
It's been going since yesterday.
Yeah.
It started at 89 hours.
So
we're at 57 now.
For the last 2 weeks, every time I've come into this building, it has been a day closer and a day more excitable for me. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once we hit a week, and I was here with Joe for the morning show, like it's real. Joe Callie and I, we did Saturday, and now I'm back over here today. Like, we're here.
I'm doing an experiment. I want to see if the NFL Network also has a counter. If they don't, well, that's a failure on them.
And they technically do. It's on the bottom, the crawl.
Yeah, but that's just the crawl. No, and that's their mock drafts.
Wow. I do like having mock drafts on the bottom, though.
I do. Okay, but where's Campbell your counter?
Will Campbell going ninth? Charles Davis? Come on. We are in a proper civilized
where's
society.
Where's the countdown? That's dreadful.
Yeah.
That's really not good.
But I think it's also because I think they're also aware that ESPN gets more viewers for the draft.
Is in fact doing that.
Yes.
You don't want to copy them. I get it.
Also, it's Mel Kiper's best available.
Wide receiver edition. Oh, defensive players. I don't like that we're just doing defensive players.
Well, hang on. There's probably a way that they sort it more in particular as well.
Maybe.
But here we are.
It is draft week.
Every day that we're getting closer for it, and I know that for you and me in particular, this is the last time that we really get to dive into it until Thursday. And what's Thursday? Oh, we all know what Thursday is. That's where me, Zach Jones, and Nate Geary are all going to be sitting in this studio and
hoping they make a pick.
Not even that. Just waiting like hell until they get to 30. So, like, I'm excited now, but by the time, like, 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm going to be like, this is taking forever. Make it stop.
Well, especially when the teams in the top 10
'cause I'm going to be Jones
are taking the entire time on the clock, or really even Tennessee, who it sounds like more and more of the reports draft is somewhat, quote unquote, starting at 4.
If Tennessee takes their entire time to announce that,
they're going to.
I'm spilling Legos into Roger Goodell's hallway. Because it's not their fault. It's his.
It's hey, we need to keep this going. We've got advertisements to hit.
Yeah.
Waste the time. We all know it's going to be Cam Ward. Because they do this even with generational prospects where you're, quote unquote, tanking for Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or what have you. We're still going to be waiting. That's the pain of it.
No reason to do that.
The top 10 takes an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on. What is going on here?
Yeah. By that point, I'm probably going to become feral. But, you know, not in a bad way.
We'll see what happens, though. I'm very, very excited. It is draft week, so I always kind of get that new level of juice. I look for every rumor. It's why I mentioned it's looking like the draft might start at 4 because it sounded like Ward at 1 to Tennessee, Travis Hunter 2 to Cleveland. Then the report today was Abdul Carter to the Giants at 3.
Matter of fact, the top 5 sounds pretty chalk because you say it starts at 4. New England, they're probably taking Will Campbell.
And if they don't take him and they take Mason Graham, Jacksonville kind of just probably takes the guy that's
takes
left
the
over.
Other. It's gonna, like the Final Four, it's going to go chalk.
Yeah, so then does the draft, you know, quote-unquote, really
draft
start
really,
at 6?
The draft really starts at 6 with the Raiders. Do they take Genty? Do they take an offensive lineman?
I want to be Genty so bad. So bad.
Joe brought it up last week on Thursday. Like, it makes a lot of sense that it could be Genty because Pete Carroll invests high picks into his teams at running back. And give Geno Smith for a couple of years here. Why not try to help get him an extra weapon and also whoever they draft next year because they're still going to be bad. It's perfect.
Yeah, but I do like the Genty. I also like it too. And it was
also a great talent.
It was the same thing though with Jacksonville potentially taking him. I kind of like a trio that they can build. It's not perfect, but it's got really nice pieces. With Jacksonville, it'd be Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas Jr., and Genty. That's not bad.
Yes.
You go to the Raiders then, you add Genty in there, Geno Smith, Brock Bowers. Bowers, you could argue already, is the best receiving tight end in football. I kind of like those trios.
We did this last year with Sam Laporta. Let's not do it again with Bowers. It was only 1 year.
He's going to have a stunning decrease to not be a top three tight end in football.
No, I know.
By the end of next year.
What I'm saying is we already did this.
But
Laporta did have that decline in production.
A little bit, yep.
So
there's also more weapons on Detroit.
Yes.
With the Raiders, it would be what happened.
I'm just saying the old saying of don't count your chickens till they hatch.
But I like the trios that either one of those two teams
could
have.
As we work in a purely speculative business.
Yes. I like the trios either team could have. They probably have more dire needs at offensive line both. Or Jacksonville just straight up defense. But it's hard not to kind of get excited about like what they could look like with Genty. It's not the greatest football move. I heard Mike Dempsey say that earlier today with Jeremy Jones. Maybe not the greatest football move, but it is fun.
Yeah.
And who doesn't
like fun?
Yeah, and as someone that's not rooting for either the Raiders or Jacksonville, I purely care about fun.
Yeah. I think that the top 10 is going to be truly fascinating in the sense of it is going to be a fun time. And if a team, for example, really loves Shedeur Sanders, Carolina is where I also think that the draft actually starts. Because I do think the Raiders take Genty. I do think the Jets take an offensive lineman. And then sitting there at 8, what does Carolina do? Well, there are teams that may want to get up and get Shedeur Sanders in case they think that New Orleans is going to take him. Or if it's Jackson Dart for some reason and I fall out of my chair. They're going to need to jump New Orleans. How do you do it? Carolina.
Carolina could be fun.
Carolina also has a bevy of options in which that they can go for a direction and it not be a bad idea. So there's the other portion of that.
Yeah, they could be a team that they go Jalen Walker, the linebacker edge rusher out of Georgia. They can go
Will Johnson.
Yeah, they can kind of go anywhere. New Orleans, though, I thought I saw yesterday maybe was leaning towards not Sanders.
Yep.
So that was sort of interesting to see Tet is the sort of guy that I see the most with them because they do need that. They got, I think, enough out of Bryce Young to feel good going into this year that, hey, maybe we didn't screw up the pick. He was fun after he came back.
He really was fun when he came back after the benching.
Yeah, it's a shame it took Andy Dalton getting into a car accident to bring him back in. But ultimately, if you're the Panthers, you quote-unquote take the wins where you can get them. It's not a win, but it's also he got put back in and he looked significantly better than he ever did
the year and a half
he was playing.
You know what would be really fun for the Carolina Panthers at 8? Tyler Warren.
I don't like Tyler Warren at all.
I think that'd be fun because of the fact that he is regarded as such a top-tier tight end prospect.
If they went tight end, I'd like the kid more out of Michigan. Warren just feels
Loveland?
Yeah, Warren just feels like he was manufactured targets from Penn State. I know Chris Trapasso, I believe CBS Sports, feels the same way about this. But Loveland feels more like the traditional really good blocking and receiving tight end. Warren feels like the guy they were manufacturing targets, just trying to give him the ball because Penn State's passing game was not very good last year. But even something like that, anything, a weapon, what have you, I think would be good for Carolina. They do need to just add talent. But to your point, the idea of maybe trading down, I wonder who would maybe want to jump up there, though, because the teams that need quarterbacks all are ahead of Carolina outside of New Orleans.
Yes.
And then it gets to Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, Miami, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Arizona, Cincinnati, Seattle. Carolina might want to trade back, but what are you trading up for? I think that's where
and
it
like
gets
Pittsburgh, for example, they don't have ammunition to get up there.
No, and also if you're Pittsburgh, the moment the Saints don't take a quarterback, if you find out they're not taking one, stay
you're
right there
set.
21. You stay right there 21. Yeah. And if you really want to, which it seems now with the Aaron Rodgers stuff, is what they're going to do is just sit there and take Sanders, take Dart, whoever you prefer, whatever.
God, would it be hilarious, though, if like at 20 Denver flips the pick to like the Rams or something?
And the Rams come up?
Yeah. I would – the hilarity that would ensue in this studio would be immense.
It would also feel like the floor finally fell under Pittsburgh. Would take something like that where
good.
A disastrous offseason where they couldn't get a quarterback, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, and then the Rams jump ahead of them to kind of speed run their rebuild at quarterback. And I've said it before, I mean, doing the reverse AFC power
Mike Tomlin deserves
the Bulldog. See, that's my thing. I like Tomlin. I think he's a good coach. I think he's too conservative in what he wants to do. I think he somewhat rests too much on his laurels, and I think the Steeler way kind of gets in the way of that. They're too straight and narrow on what they have to do. There is no flexibility. But I've said it on the reverse AFC power rankings. I think me and you have said it. I know I've said it with Josh during the season when we were talking Steelers. They can't be this forever. There will come a year, whether it be injuries or what have you, where everything falls apart. And they do become that 5-6 win team that we all kind of know is there because of how bad the offense is. All it takes really is a T.J. Watt injury in like week two. And you really wonder what's going to happen.
They had T.J. Watt lost for a while with a torn pec. That team still gets over a 500 record. I don't know if it was just, again, there's some sort of like bag of voodoo magic or pixie dust somewhere.
I think Tomlin's just a good coach. He's too rigid.
Yes, he's too rigid, and that's why I think like that's when I say like he deserves it is because of how rigid he is.
Yeah.
And how conservative he is. The Steelers often do not take chances. Whether it's on-field strategy or draft strategy.
And that's why the Metcalf trade was so stunning.
Yeah.
To add Metcalf to Pickens. And that's why it would be – and that's almost my fear if I'm a Steelers fan, realistically. And you have your Super Bowl, so you know, sit with me here for a minute. But to make that trade and think, probably in that moment, oh, hell, we're changing. We're going in a different direction. This is offensive firepower. Here we go. I mean, it's just going to be go balls all day. This is going to be amazing. And then for Rodgers – I don't think to spurn you, but for you to kind of spurn him and not really have an option. Is it really going to be Mason Rudolph again? And then if something like that happens where the Rams jump ahead of you, just that one pick, like you said, Denver moves back. Because, let's be honest, they maybe want Amari and Hampton, and there's a good chance they can get him at 26. And all of a sudden, they get Dart or Sanders, and you're sitting there going, so it really is going to be Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
And if you're 10-7 again or 9-8 again, are you going to be there with potentially a better
draft
class?
You're sitting there at 19 or 20 again.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no better like it is this constant circle that
it's the worst spot to be in sports.
It's the worst spot to be in sports because sometimes you make the playoffs, sometimes you don't, depending on the year.
And when you make the playoffs, it's been blowouts.
They have not had a good
showing. It's not fun.
In their last three playoff appearances, they have not had a good showing.
No, every time they get in the playoffs, it's everyone going, oh, who's playing?
Excuse me.
They're gonna whoop them.
Four.
Yeah, they're going to whoop them. It's going to be embarrassing. And that's the thing. It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone to watch you and go, you don't belong.
Listen to WGR Sports Radio.
I agree.
But it's literally
you
people going.
You should listen to WGR Sports Radio 550.
But it really is a lot of people just looking at that on national TV, going, "You don't belong." Look what happened to the Ravens and to the Steelers, a team that maybe more than any other organization in the sport prides itself on good, strong defenses. They're run over. They are made to look quote unquote soft.
Yes,
I mean like that's what their playoff history has been since, probably a little bit after. Their loss to Super Bowl in Green Bay, because they made playoffs, they'd win games, but they were always second fiddle to New England, and they were always going to finish. I mean, the 3 B's era, they never make a Super Bowl with that era. Antonio Brown's on the team when they make it in Green Bay, but he's that fifth, sixth round pick. He's the rookie, kind of flashing.
Yeah,
he's not
like,
the guy yet.
Yeah, but like he's not a featured piece yet.
Yeah.
Nor is Le'Veon Bell on the team, and it's just this. But also, the only time that they've made the Super Bowl with the Patriots' rise, New England got pushed out of their way
mm-hmm.
so that Pittsburgh could stumble on through.
Yep.
Which now is kind of looking like I'll take that tactic for Bills and Chiefs, but
be fun eventually.
You know what?
Yeah, it's just I look at Pittsburgh
at
too,
this point. Yeah, I'll take the underhanded tactics.
Yeah, I look at Pittsburgh. A part of me though, I will tell you, I don't despise the Steelers. They're not the Patriots to me. They're not the Chiefs.
I do,
but I don't like them. Yeah, I don't like them, and I'd love to see them picking in the top five. I'd like to see the Steelers be bad in my lifetime.
No, ready? If you don't like them. You mm-hmm. don't want them near the top five.
Well, no. I want to see a season where they win three games and I'm watching Steelers fans lose their minds.
No, because a lot of I'm fairly certain that it'll be the – I don't want to be mean. It'll be the ones that don't want to think things through. They only see the win totals and that's it.
Right, right.
But the logical ones will go ahead and say, yeah, we've needed this.
Yeah, we've needed a hard reset. Doesn't mean the reset needs to be good, though.
It doesn't mean that it needs to be good, but it also does mean that like a lot of them will go, yeah, we saw this coming for like 10 years.
Yeah, thank goodness it finally happened.
Like, thank you, free me from my pain of constantly being mediocre.
The worst part is though, I think it'd be like a half thing because...
Oh yeah, because they would want to like win now again.
No, not even. Tomlin doesn't get fired. It's like one bad season and it'll be like, it's his first truly bad season ever. We'll keep him going. And there you go. And they'll keep Tomlin, and they'll stay – I mean, with Arthur Smith as their OC, the whole thing, they're going to have drama this year. You just know it, especially if Mason Rudolph's their quarterback.
Yeah.
With George Pickens and DK Metcalf, that's going to be – there will be moments where that's exciting, and there will be like a month this year where it is just constant drama with the Steelers.
Yes, I will. The thing is that's where I also don't have as much respect for – what Mike Tomlin does, because why are his teams constantly riddled with drama?
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. We don't hear anything about this with the Bills. And some of it might be like how they construct the roster. They pick players that don't have those kinds of concerns to them. And at some point, like after like Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell, it was... Oh my God, how did you manage to be a winning team with that three-ring circus? My question becomes, how'd you let it happen at this point?
Yeah.
Because Le'Veon Bell coming out of college was seen as a high-character pick.
Yeah.
So I think it has to do with something of leadership in that locker room. I don't know if they actually believe in Mike Tomlin.
Letting too much go. Yeah, he's maybe not as much of a hard you-know-what as he maybe needs to be.
He's not, because
Roethlisberger did a radio show for years where teammates didn't want him doing it anymore and were open about it. Yeah. And he kept doing it.
And he kept throwing teammates under the bus, which is a no-no.
Was it Juju Smith-Schuster or Antonio Brown he threw under the bus?
It was Brown that he threw under the
Brown,
bus.
Yeah.
Who then took the high road of all people in that moment did. And said, I'm a big boy. I could take the criticism on that. But, like, all of his former teammates would say it. Hines Ward was like, you got to stop doing this. Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, all of them have said that. Sanders, immediately when he signs with the Broncos, says the change in leadership is dynamic from Roethlisberger to Manning.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. So, again, how'd you let it happen? Well, you let your quarterback have too much public power.
Yeah.
And how do you... Ready? That's Tomlin saying, yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
The more I see quarterbacks becoming the quote-unquote CEOs...
Yeah.
Like, you know, Russell Wilson having his own office, Ben Roethlisberger kind of being allowed to do what he wants. The more just... You're like, that's a bad way to do it. It's a bad way to do it.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to be one of these things where... I want them, as long as Tomlin is there, to stay mid forever. Because, again, there was a three-ring circus there. Every three-ring circus, or every circus, needs the ringleader, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Tomlin, always. And it's not like his tactics are worth him being around for. The man punts inside of an opponent's 40.
Watching that playoff game this year was just...
Jeremy framed something about Mike Tomlin saying, like, the man wants a reason to punt the football to you.
I think it looks like it.
I think it was before the Bills-Steelers wildcard game, actually. But I will never forget it. Like, just pretty much give him a reason to give you the football back.
It looks like it. And my problem, too, is like I do defend him somewhat. I think he is a good football coach.
But I think he's
so rigid and stiff in how he has to do everything that there's a specific way. And it's, you know, and you can argue, too, to a certain extent, too early success. He wins a Super Bowl very early in his career.
With Cowher's team.
But then he makes another one with his group. And from then on, it's been, you know, a downward spiral where you do see guys like Andy Reid have changed pretty aggressively into what they are now with the Chiefs and their dynasty. Where with the Eagles, they had really, really big issues with Tampa Bay.
Tomlin's college teammate has changed.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott
has changed from the guy that was hired in 2017.
He has changed in a shorter amount of time. Like you said, Andy Reid, one of those guys, he had to make these changes.
Mm-hmm. There's only one guy I can think of that like really didn't have to change and kind of kept winning, but you see with his disciples, it's a disaster, and it's Belichick.
And the reason he quote-unquote didn't have to was because he got covered up.
His quarterback
covered up his drafting flaws.
His drafting flaws, but also how he handled personnel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys basically, I went there to win. I didn't have fun, but I went there to win.
And that's the part of it. It's like, to stay rigid like this, that's why Belichick isn't getting rehired in the NFL to break the record.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's rigid in his ways.
Yeah.
I don't, again, the Tomlin thing, like, I love that they are just hilariously middle of the pack. Because they deserve it with a coach like that. And until Rooney wants to make a change, that is what his franchise is going to be.
And you know that, hey, making a change, what is he, their fourth head coach ever?
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
And so ready?
Or is it third?
And it's not just the coach at that point. Their rigid ways go back to their entire franchise and how it's run.
Is that their third?
It's their fourth.
My goodness.
And it's hilarious.
In some way, you have to respect it because they have won so much.
But
it's like, guys, there is a point, though, when the message gets stale and you have to change.
They won so much, but only, what, one of them is recent history?
It's their third. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
It's a joke at this point.
Oof.
It is a joke at this point. I'm glad it's catching up to them.
Yeah, their last Super Bowl was in 08. The last time they made the game was in 2010. It's now 15 years ago.
I'm glad that it's catching up to them.
Oh, man. We're getting to a point where kids have never seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in a Super Bowl. We're getting close, baby. We're getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So, again, I'm glad it's caught up to them. Adapt or die. And death is not finishing with 3 wins. No, death is being in the pit of mediocrity forever.
803-0550, the number to call. It is draft week. Always would love to hear your thoughts where the Bills should go. We've brought up wide receiver, the idea of maybe Luther Burden falling to 30. Defense, of course. We all know I'm a big Kenneth Grant fan. Sometimes he falls to the Bills in mock drafts. Other times he's taken 15 picks before him. I cannot get a straight idea on
You're
that at all.
You're not going to love what I put on the website then.
No, I'm not. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. We are also going to hear from Sal Capaccio at 11:30, as today the Bills will be speaking with the media. Yesterday started phase one of their offseason program. We expect to hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen and general manager Brandon Bean. That's going to start at 12:30, but we'll get a scene setter with Sal at 11:30. Again, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.